The following program is furnished by Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island. It's for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff. AM 790 Talk and Business presents Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island with your host, Bronwyn Dannenfelser. Join Bronwyn to hear about the next Waterfire event in downtown Providence, plus other great cultural events happening in the community.
You are listening to Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island, Bronwyn, and I'm so sorry, we did have some technical difficulties. And, geez, the traffic was bad getting here. And there's just been technical difficulties everywhere. But I'm so glad to be here because I want to, first of all, say thank you to everybody that came out to last Saturday's fire. We have gotten the biggest raves and reviews about the opening ceremonies. We had Festival Ballet doing a piece from Firebird, and it was amazing. And then we did Clear Currents, so we had Big Fish and people from the community with Big Fish in kayaks and canoes going through the fires, reminding us that our water and our waterways are very important, and keeping them clean. So thanks to the Narragansett Bay Commission for that. And everyone, you know, it's so funny. And I guess maybe, I'm not sure if it's a Rhode Island thing, a Massachusetts thing. Maybe it's just a people thing. But there was a talk of a little bit of rain. And so there was a little sprinkle that came down. And that was probably around, I want to say, maybe 840, 850. And people started to, you know, well, one, people in the basin, which is where the whole opening ceremonies are, nobody moved and nobody budged. But people that were on the other side of the river started to think that the heavens were going to fall. And I just wanted to say, Chicken Little, come on, get it together. And it was so beautiful. It lasted for 10 minutes. It actually cleared the air. It was the lightest sprinkle and it was warm and easy. And, you know, it's funny. Those who scattered, you missed out on the rest of the evening. And for those who stayed, which was a lot of people, it was such a beautiful night. Then, you know, it was absolutely beautiful. I repeat myself. But that's because I'm so excited. And why am I excited? There's one, a fire this evening, which is happening for our law enforcement officials. Did I say just say law? I think, yeah, law. That my Rhode Island accent just came out. Or maybe I'm from Brooklyn, or maybe I'm from somewhere else. I'm not really sure, but I just put an R where there should not be an R. And but I'm excited because we have a fire this evening. The Best of Rhode Island party is happening, and Waterfire is getting an award this evening. But more than that, we have been gearing up for the last, I want to say, 6 months for what's going to be one of the most amazing fires. And it always is for the last 4 years. It is our Rhode Island Defeats Hepatitis C fire. It's so important, and there's so much information, and it's so much fun. There's music on Steeple Street, which we have not seen in such a long time. There's taiko drummers, and more than that, there's testing so that people can go out and get tested. And I have one of the leaders, and the person who started Rhode Island Defeats Hepatitis C, and one of the best doctors here in Rhode Island, and a dear friend, Dr. Lynn Taylor, with me today. And we're going to tell you a little bit about what's going to happen on August 5th, but we're going to also talk about what's really important and this getting tested and what hepatitis C really is, because there's so many misnomers and, you know, so many canards and just different ideas about really where it comes from and how it's, you know, evolved. But the biggest thing is there's a cure for it. There is a cure for a viral disease. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce my friend, Dr. Taylor. Hi, Lynn.
Hello, Bronwyn. It is so exciting. I'm so thrilled to be back here with you.
You just got applause.
Wow. C is for celebration. C is for cure. And I'm just filled with gratitude to you and to Barnaby Evans. It was Barnaby's idea 4 years ago. He was the one who said, hey, why don't we partner with Rhode Island Defeats Hep C and start a tradition in Rhode Island, C is for cure, a water fire lighting for Rhode Island Defeats Hep C, because our goal is to make sure that everybody living with Hep C is identified, treated, and cured. And really, it's now becoming a statewide institution, but not only that, the Centers for Disease Control, our national colleagues and leaders at the White House and the World Health Organization, people now all around the world know about this event. So I'm just especially filled with gratitude to you, to Barnaby, everyone at WaterFire and the Rhode Island Foundation that helped Rhode Island Defeats Hep C get started four years ago.
Yeah, you've dedicated your life to essentially this mission, and it started years ago. So how did it start, Lynn? So you got an innovation award, right, from the Carter Foundation, I think?
Yes, John and Letitia Carter with the Rhode Island Foundation 4 years ago awarded me an innovation fellowship, $300,000, to initiate a program to help Rhode Island eliminate hepatitis C, to help us get to be the first state to do so. And I think we can do it. And the national and global goal is to eliminate hepatitis C from the earth by 2030. And we've made a lot of progress in Rhode Island. We have so many champions. We have, again, so many people to honor on August 5th. We will be honoring medical students, physicians, pharmacists, researchers, patients, a wide array of stakeholders, people from the public health communities, Dr. Nicole Alexander Scott at our health department, so many people who've been working on this epidemic. And we have some great news, Bronwyn. As you know, this year we have three exciting lead torchbearers.
Yes.
We have Dr. Brian Edlin returning. Dr. Brian Edlin is one of our leaders in viral hepatitis at the United States Center for Disease Control and Prevention. He's returning. Mm-hmm. He'll be meeting with our colleagues at the health department and others to help us do all that we can to identify hepatitis C, treat and cure hep C in our community. This year, we have a national treasure, Dr. Jag Khalsa from the National Institutes of Health in Bethesda, Maryland, is coming. He has been the champion of hepatitis C research in the United States and globally for years. I'm just completely overwhelmed with the fact that Dr. Khalsa is coming. And again, he really is a national treasure. It's due to JAG that we've been doing so much with hepatitis C research in the last decade, since 1989. No, we didn't know about hepatitis C until 1989.
I was just going to ask you to explain that to the listening audience, because you and I have talked about this so many times, but for somebody who might just be listening for the first time, it wasn't even diagnosed, essentially, right?
No, years ago, you know, even in the 80s, we heard of this new entity, this new infection, non-A, non-B is what this disease was initially called. And finally, it was named hepatitis C, discovered in 1989. And now it is the biggest infectious disease killer in the United States.
How is that? I mean, what is it that spreads the disease? Or how has it become the largest infectious disease?
Yeah, hard to believe, isn't it? Because we hear a lot about other infections, tuberculosis, Lyme disease, pneumonia, hepatitis B. But if we add up all the other top 60 infectious diseases and we look at deaths due to those diseases, more people are now dying of hepatitis C. And it really has to do with the fact that this is a silent epidemic. Silent epidemic for a few reasons. Number one, we don't feel a thing when we first catch hepatitis C. So we won't know we have it unless we get a specific and simple blood test. So that's a great thing to do. We'll talk today, hopefully, about who should get tested.
Do they do those? And I am going to ask, do they do a simple blood test normally when they, you know, when you go to your doctor and they send you to the lab and, you know, they're doing a normal screening? Is that one of the things that they screen for?
Yeah, Bronwyn, I'm so glad you brought that up, because not yet. We're not there yet. Lots of folks say to me all the time, and I was at Kodak, Rhode Island's only nonprofit opiate substitution therapy program this morning, where led by Linda Hurley and Sophie Schreck-Walsh, we take care of people with hep C every day. And every day, and this morning, my patient said to me, hey, I've been in medical care. I have a primary care doctor, or I've gone to the emergency room. Shouldn't I just have been tested? What do you mean I have hep C and I didn't know about it? It's not yet part of routine blood testing panels. We need to change that. And especially for the baby boomers, the medical rule is that all of us baby boomers, that is people born between 1945 and 1965, are at risk just by virtue of growing up in those years. We have a 1 in 30 chance of having hep C. So it's everyone's issue.
What is it that makes that age group and those years more or different than, say, for instance, me, I was born in 74?
So hepatitis C is spread through blood that contains hepatitis C and only that bodily fluid. So we do not have to worry about hepatitis C being spread through casual contact, talking, coughing, sitting next to a person, holding hands, sweat, saliva. It's not a classically spread sexually transmitted infection. But because of the blood and the fact that we didn't know about hepatitis C until 1989, in the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, and 80s, hepatitis C was spread probably through medical procedures unknowingly. There was an explosion of using of glass and metal vials and bottles and syringes post-World War II and changes in the medical profession. And unknowingly, there were people who were probably infected through blood transfusions, medical procedures, because we didn't know that Hep C could live on these surfaces, medical surfaces, for up to 60 days. It really wasn't until the HIV-AIDS epidemic in the 90s that we had the beginning of infection control and an understanding of the fact that hepatitis C was being spread.
So, because it makes me think of, you know, when everybody was going to Vietnam, for instance, and, you know, I'm a big veterans fan, but when everyone was going to Vietnam and when people were getting, I guess, their shots, essentially, it was pretty much you get lined up and you get a shot. And it was maybe that one of the processes, the medical processes that might have spread that disease to baby boomers, because that's the age group that you're looking at, right?
That is the age group that we're looking at. And, for example, in Egypt, which is the nation with the highest burden of disease, it's estimated 1 in 3 people in Egypt has hepatitis C. We know what happened in that nation, for example, when the Ministry of Health was trying to vaccinate the population against a parasite called schistosomiasis and reuse glass vials, jars, needles, and inadvertently infected a generation.
Wow. And so in Egypt now, are they taking care of the problem there? I mean, because we do have a cure now. We
have a cure. C is for cure. And cure is beneficial. It's not just that we're removing hepatitis C from the blood, but we know that the risk of getting ill from liver disease dramatically decreases with cure. The risk of developing liver cancer declines by 75% with a cure. Hep C can, after many years, lead to liver cancer. And liver cancer is now the fastest rising cancer in the United States, in large part driven by the hepatitis C epidemic. This is an epidemic. There is an urgency. Lots of people who were infected 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago are now starting to develop scarring in the liver called cirrhosis. And once we have cirrhosis, we can develop liver cancer. And so we really want to help people come out and get tested for hepatitis C and be identified and get treated and cured. The treatment's very easy. It's like taking an M&M every day, really, for 12 weeks. And most people get cured.
So literally, in 12 weeks, somebody can be taking the medication and then it's gone?
Absolutely. It's completely curable. One pill once a day for most people for 12 weeks. Right now, among my patients, about 95% are cured with the first course of treatment.
That has got to be something that makes your eyes, well, actually it does, because I'm sitting with you, but your eyes are lighting up and your hands are doing jazz hands. But yeah, that's really exciting. And you know, one of the things that I love about this water fire that we started, it's again, 4 years. Can you believe it, Lynn? This is our fourth anniversary of Rhode Island Defeats Hepatitis C. But people come down and they get tested on site. And talk a little bit about that, because I think for a lot of people, they're like, water fire, get tested for hepatitis C. What does that look like? What does it feel like?
Yeah, and it is a night of celebration and music and fires and taiko drummers and food and grandchildren and dancing and all these different things. But we do have a whole educational area. Our third lead torchbearer this year is President Christina Paxson from Brown University, because we have so many Brown University students, undergraduates, medical students, public health students, residents, fellows, staffing our education tables, teaching people about hepatitis C. Again, this is everyone's issue. We all have a partner, spouse, child, mother, parent, friend, colleague with hepatitis C. It's everyone's issue. And then we also have, for the fourth year running, a Hep C testing area, which is a little bit private. Everybody sits in a little tent with a tester.
I did it.
Yay, Bronwyn. And many people from Waterfire did it. Mm-hmm. And this is led by my longtime colleagues and friends at AIDS Care Ocean State. Ray Joseph and Oz Lugo and their team, Keith Thompson. You know, whenever we ask them to come on out, they're experts in Hep C testing and counseling. The answer is yes. So they are the right people to help us with testing.
Well, Lynn, I'm so excited that you're here. One, we've got to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about hepatitis C, about the importance of being tested. And, yeah, Dr. Taylor is just probably one of the best ladies I've ever known, with so full of information. You are listening to Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island here on AM 790, your station for talk and business. We're coming back, and we're talking about August 5th, Rhode Island defeats hepatitis C. And, you know, that's such a big and big thing, and people just don't know about that silent epidemic. So we'll be back. Don't change the channel.
It's time for the Dunkin' Donuts Regional Traffic, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. It's the summer of coffee at Dunkin'. Try a new s'mores frozen Dunkin' coffee, butter pecan iced coffee, or coconut cream pie cold brew today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
95 northbound, busy from 37 up into about 10 in Cranston. It gets busy again after you go by 195. If you're coming in on 195 westbound, busy from Pawtucket Ave in. 95 southbound, still heavy coming out of the S-curves into downtown, even though the crash has cleared. You're slow again as you come out of 195 down to 10 in Cranston. 295 north, you're busy from 37 to Plainfield Pike. I'm Rich Teeter with your right now traffic.
This is Amy from Moriarty's Fence. Fence brand pet safety experts. The Invisible Fence brand. 50808 for a free design and pet consultation visit, or schedule online at moriartysfence.com. At Moriarty's Fence, we work hard so you can rest easy knowing your pet is safe at home.
But it just makes sense.
And it's invisible.
It's the fence that makes sense. Get the Invisible Fence.
Moriarty's Fence, 800-225-0808, keeping pets safe since 1986. Moriarty's Fence reminds you to support your local shelter, adopt, volunteer, donate.
When towers seem like trees and roads become rivers, the Range Rover Evoque is there to guide you through the twists and turns of the urban jungle. Gaze up through the available full-glass panoramic roof to take in the city from an unexpected angle. Then cast your eyes forward and strike out to meet an environment full of unpredictable moments. Lease the Range Rover Evoque SE Premium for $299 per month for 36 months with $39.95 down and 5,000 miles per year. Plus taxes, title, and registration fees due at signing. Now through July 31st. Visit LandRoverWarwick.com or call 401-461-2000 for details.
People make all kinds of mistakes with life insurance, like having some coverage but not enough to keep your family in the house, or only having life insurance through work and then losing your job. Want to avoid those mistakes? Get an Allstate agent. They can help you get the coverage your family needs at an affordable price. Are you in good hands?
To make sure you have the right coverage, call North Providence Allstate agent Natalia Furtado today at 722-4022. Get your free quote today, 722-4022.
Amanda, age 3. Tyler, age 8. Marissa, age 4.5.
We could tell you just how many child abductions last year led to Amber Alerts.
Shaniqua, age 14. Ryan, age 9.
But this isn't about cold statistics. It's about saving kids.
Terrell and Jamal, age 6 months.
Please go to wirelessamberalerts.org. Sign up to get free Amber Alert text messages on your cell phone. When an Amber Alert is issued in the areas you've chosen, you'll receive a free text message. If you spot the vehicle, the suspect, or the child described in the alert, call 911. Sign up today for free at wirelessamberalerts.org. You can imagine what the family of an abducted child is feeling.
Alexander, age 7.
If you actually did help save that child, just imagine what that would feel like. WirelessAmberAlerts.org. A child is calling for help. This message brought to you by the Wireless Foundation, the U.S. Department of Justice, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and the Ad Council.
This is AM 790 Talk and Business with Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island. We are taking it to the streets with your host, Bronwyn Denenfelser.
And hello, hello. And we are sitting here and I am talking to my good friend, Dr. Lynn Taylor, who is the pioneer and the head of Rhode Island Defeats Hepatitis C. And we are having a massive fire on August 5th. And we are talking about hepatitis C, what it really is, because it is something that's not normally talked about, to be honest with you. And so we started this fire 4 years ago. I didn't really even know that it was an epidemic. I mean, I always thought of AIDS as an epidemic, or some of these other diseases, and viruses that are coming along. But I had never heard of hepatitis C, or I never had it in the forefront. And the fact is, there's a cure for it. So that's what we call the C is for cure. Rhode Island defeats hepatitis C. So I'm here with Dr. Lynn Taylor. Lynn, we're back. And we're taking it to the streets, aren't we?
We're taking it to the streets, August 5th. And by the way, Bronwyn, happy World Hepatitis Day.
It's today World
Hepatitis Day? Tomorrow, July 28th, is World Hepatitis Day, one of only five global health holidays. And people all over the world are celebrating tomorrow. And part of what we're asked to do by our White House in D.C. and the Center for Disease Control and Prevention and the World Health Organization is to raise awareness of this silent epidemic. And that's why it's been so wonderful that we can have our Hep C water fire coincide with and be close to, depending on the tides and the day of the week, be close to July 28th.
Yeah, and so we were talking before we went to break, we were talking about the fact that, one, it's a huge, huge celebration happening on the 5th. I mean, we've got Rose Weaver singing. We've got these incredible bands singing on Steeple Street. We've got the Tycho drummers. We've got a resource fair, though, as well, and a passport adventure. So everybody out there, if you would like to, there's great prizes that are included in this, but there's a passport, and you can stop at all these different stations along Water Fire. Get your passport stamped. It means that you're walking along Water Fire and you're not just sitting in the basin or sitting at one end of it. And then also, we're also bringing you to that resource fair. And where the resource fair for hepatitis C is also a testing area, which I have been saying, I did it the first year and I was so excited about it. But Lynn, for anybody who wants, because again, it sounds kind of funny, like go get tested for hepatitis C. But again, we were talking, it's not something that's normally screened for. And when you go to your doctor and their blood, you know, work that they send you to go get, what is it like when somebody goes and what's the process?
So what we'll be doing on August 5th at Water Fire is have an area by the educational tent region. Again, we'll have lots of students teaching folks about hepatitis C and answering questions. And people will privately be talking with a Hep C counselor. We call it pre-test counseling so people understand what the test is about. It's a very simple, quick prick of the finger. And then Ray or Oz or Keith or one of our other colleagues will just squeeze your fingertip gently and rub a teeny tiny spot of blood in a card. And in 20 minutes, we'll know if a person has been exposed to hepatitis C. And by the way, we're offering this at Water Fire for adults, 18 and over. If the test lights up as positive or reactive, it means a person has been exposed. And we're not going to give out results Saturday night. And I'll come back to the exposure issue and the next steps. It's just that so many people are out with friends and family and celebrating and singing and eating. And most people who come, you know, are not necessarily realizing that night they may get tested. And so what we've decided to do is to not give results out that night so that people can just go on and enjoy the fire and the celebration. And then I personally contact people the next week following the fire and let people know if the test comes back positive or reactive and help link them into care. And then my colleagues at ACOS, AIDS Care Ocean State, contact people whose tests come back negative. So if the initial prick of the finger comes back positive or reactive, that means exposure. At one point there was hepatitis C in the blood. It could have gone away in the first 6 months of infection. About 15% of people will spontaneously resolve the infection, never knowing it was ever there. The immune system can beat it and get rid of it spontaneously without any medications within the first 6 months.
Wow.
And about 15 to 25% of people. But for the other 75 to 85% of people, the little virus, a small germ, will reside in the liver and keep replicating, making more viruses, which can cause damage to the liver over time, scarring to the liver over time, liver failure over years. And what we do then is have to get a follow-up confirmatory blood test. And I'll help people and navigate people in to get a blood test. That is the vein in the arm. And that test will look for the virus. And if the virus is there, I'll help people get into care. And if the virus isn't there, that means the person does not have hepatitis C.
Yeah, and you know, I guess the best thing about it is, so you know, we're talking about somebody testing positive or negative, and that can have all different connotations. But the fact is there's a cure for it, which is why we are putting this fire out, that, you know, and getting the information out there. So if you test positive and you get to know that, then you can be cured, as you said, in, what, 12 weeks? Almost like taking an M&M.
Most people, 12 weeks, and it's extremely beneficial to one's health. Again, we reduce the chance of developing scarring in the liver, cirrhosis of the liver, liver failure, liver-related illness, liver-related death. And then there are people who are contending with addiction. We know this is a tremendous problem in Rhode Island and beyond. And if we are struggling with injection drug use or snorting, we call it intranasal drug use, just through those means, we may transmit or pass hepatitis C unknowingly to another person. And so there's also benefit for people who are struggling with addiction, particularly, again, intranasal or snorting drugs or injecting drugs. If we are cured, then we're not able to pass hepatitis C along to the next person.
So there's always so much movement. And I'm going to ask this, and you don't have to answer it if you don't want to, but I was a little disturbed what happened in Washington, D.C. the other day with the overhaul of our healthcare system, which is finally coming together, or it was coming together, I thought, in my opinion personally. But how does this healthcare reform and what's happening now, how does that affect your ability to treat your patients?
95% of my patients are Medicaid recipients, 95%. There's, again, a range of people with hepatitis C. It's a very heterogeneous population, but economically disadvantaged people in this country are disproportionately impacted by hepatitis C. And we will not be able to stem the rise in hepatitis C in the United States. In the last few years, about four years, there's an unprecedented 250% increase in the rate of new hep C infections. We call this hep C incidence. And we are just going to have this epidemic go further and further out of control. We will see people dying. Now, death from hep C does not occur at age 90 or 100. We won't be able to care for people who are in their 40s and 50s. I saw someone today in late 20s, early 30s. I see people with cirrhosis, scarring of the liver. We will not be able to prevent liver-related illness, death, and cancer. We will really, really be doing a disservice. We will be exacerbating the healthcare disparities that already exist with this epidemic. I won't be able to provide care to my patients, and everybody is equally worthy of hepatitis C diagnosis, care, and cure.
So when we talk about, it was the baby boomers that, you know, we really wanted to get tested, but it sounds like if it's on the rise, and why is it on the rise?
So we kind of have, I think of it as like a camel with two humps. One hump of the epidemic is the older patients, the baby boomers, and by the way, people born before 1945 at risk too. They're the patients who've had hep C for a longer time, and the longer the duration of infection, the longer the hep C can cause damage, the greater risk for cirrhosis and advanced liver disease. So we have to take care of those folks. And then we have a new epidemic emerging in this nation, increasingly women, younger people, and this is being fueled by the opiate crisis in America. We're seeing this all over the nation. For example, one of the hotspots, Appalachia, places where there has not been the access to clean syringes, to needle exchange that we have in Rhode Island. And with the problem with the opiate crisis, we see an overlapping epidemic of a rise in hepatitis C infections as people who have a family history of addiction or who are struggling with addiction often start on pills, pain pills, opiate pills. Often these are cut off. I'm concerned about that. I know the medical profession needs to respond, but when we just shut off the opiates, people then often now have the brain changes that lead to initiating heroin use. People move from snorting to injecting. No one aspires to be struggling with heroin. No one aspires that.
Nobody ever wanted to be born and say, I'm going to be a drug addict when
absolutely
I get older.
Absolutely not. And these are treatable illnesses. We have therapies and treatments for people contending with opiate dependence and other types of addiction. We see this every day, people doing better and better and better and getting on with their lives and improving their health. But then they're left often with this infectious remnant of hepatitis C. And that's part of why not only is it physiologically, not only does it physically feel good to be cured with more energy and less fatigue, but psychologically it's really, really the relief of a very large painful burden, because unfortunately there is still stigma associated with hepatitis C, and that's very painful, and it's a tremendous relief to people to be cured of the infection.
I would imagine so, and the work that you do every day, I think, must really be gratifying when you see what you can do now. After, I mean, how long have you been working, you know, doing the whole hepatitis C and with patients, and now to see a cure? What does that feel like?
It's overwhelming every day, and I'm just filled with gratitude. I have had such wonderful mentors and colleagues in Rhode Island. We have such wonderful people in infectious diseases working on hepatitis C. I had wonderful training at Brown University in my residency. I'm very grateful to Tim Flanagan. I was able to complete an NIH research fellowship on viral hepatitis to learn about some of the basic science, immunology, virology. And it's really rewarding to see the next generation now continuing. We have so much leadership and research here with Karen Tashima. We have a PCORI, Patient-Centered Outcomes Research Institute, research program on hepatitis C. Dr. Kim Chapin is doing research on hepatitis C. So we've seen transformation with CURE. When I started treating Hep C in 2002, the only treatment was the dreaded interferon.
Well, because interferon actually was killing good cells as well as bad cells.
Yes, it was. It was called interferon for good reason. It really interfered with how people felt and interfered all throughout the body. It maybe, just maybe, as a side product, we'd get cured of Hep C. So now we have much better pills and treatments.
Well, you know what, Lynn, I am so psyched that you're here. And I might even be able to have you back next week, right? And we can talk even more about that.
I look forward to it.
Everybody, you've been listening to Water, Fire, Ignites Rhode Island, and that is Dr. Lynn Taylor. And don't ever forget that name. An incredible pioneer and a wonderful advocate of just health in general. But, boy, is she going to defeat hepatitis C here in Rhode Island. And she's going to do it at Water, Fire. All right, don't change the station. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about another great woman who was Queen Boadicea. She defeated the Romans, if you don't know who she is. And we're going to talk about the Providence Fringe Festival. So another warrior woman with red hair. So I got Dr. Lynn Taylor, you got Bronwyn, and now we're going to talk about Boadicea.
It's great to be here today. Thanks to everyone for listening. See you August 5th.
All right.
Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on.
It's time for the Dunkin' Donuts Regional Traffic, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. It's the summer of coffee at Dunkin'. Try a new s'mores frozen Dunkin' coffee, butter pecan iced coffee, or coconut cream pie cold brew today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
A little bit busy as it coming up on 95 northbound from 37 into town. 95 southbound still slow out of Pawtucket all the way into downtown. The 295 northbound slow between 37 and Plainfield Pike. 295 southbound slow around Johnson. 195 west and east between Pawtucket Ave and the split. Busy in both directions. I'm Rich Teeter with your right now traffic.
Brought to you by the 24/7 Diabetic Health Hotline. Attention diabetics. With insurance, you may qualify to get your testing supplies at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call 800-808-5181.
Don't do what I did and run out.
If it's working, don't quit. Why would you stop?
Why undo all the good that's been accomplished?
You've got to feed them right for life.
Dynavite is nutrition.
If I ever took Roy off of Dynavite.
No.
When I get to about 3/4.
When I get down to the bottom of my box of Dynavite.
Oh, no. I've got a couple more scoops.
It's time to place my order. Dynavite.com.
Dynavite.com.
859-428-1000.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite for your dog this week.
We'll send you a bottle of LicoChaps free.
New, improved LicoChaps with omega-6, omega-3, vitamin E.
And now 6 extra direct-fed microbials.
Even better for the digestive tract and immune system.
Try LicoChaps.
Free this week at Dynavite.com.
Just feed your dog right. Use Dynavite.
Dynavite for life.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dinovite.com.
Listen up, homeowners looking to make changes in your home. This is Matt Allen here for Northeast Kitchen and Flooring Center. Now's the perfect time. Whether you're looking for a small remodel of a kitchen or a bathroom or a complete renovation, their service and pricing cannot be beat. Everyone works for them. They handle everything from plans to the final installation, and you'll receive weekly emails with a full schedule of your project. So do what I did. Call Northeast Kitchen and Flooring now to take advantage of 10% off all Waypoint cabinets. And make sure you check them out online at nekitchenandflooring.com.
You're good. You get things done. With the mobile deposit feature on Navigant's mobile app, you deposit those checks right into your account quickly and easily with just a click, giving you lots of time to tackle that to-do list.
Sitting on the couch, glass of Cabernet, reruns of the housewives.
Go to NavigantCU.org to learn more. Navigant Credit Union. Enjoy life's journey. Navigant Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
It's not called Nakua.
Imus in the morning, Yankees baseball, Celtics basketball, AM 790 WPRB Pro.
This is Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island on AM 790 Talk and Business. To take home our final segment, here is your host, Bronwyn Denenfelser.
And hello, hello, hello. What a fascinating conversation with such an amazing woman, Dr. Lynn Taylor, talking about hepatitis C and Rhode Island defeats hepatitis C. And wow, we've got that massive fire on August 5th. There is music and there is lots of light, and you can go and find out information about hepatitis C. Actually, it's just a big old celebration because you know what? There's a cure for a viral disease. So that's pretty big and pretty huge. But there's other things that are happening before then and that are happening actually right now as we speak at the Waterfire Arts Center, because it is the Providence Fringe Festival. And if you're not familiar with the Fringe Festival, well, you better look it up. It started in Edinburgh, and it is just an incredible amount. And actually, the Providence Fringe Festival is, you know, all sorts of different performances and live performances happening all around Providence, but a lot of them are happening right now at the new Waterfire Arts Center. And there's one that's really very cool, very funky, and a subject that I absolutely adore. And I've got my friend Bob Schlenk, I believe, on the line. Hello.
Yes, I'm here again.
Hi, Bob. Hi. How are you doing? Are you in the middle of tech right now, setting up?
Well, actually, I'm sitting in your office and watching the setup from the window.
Oh, all right. Well, that's, I mean, the Waterfire Arts Center is pretty big, isn't it?
And it's very big, yes.
Lots to see. But I want to talk about what you have put together and what we are going to see tonight at 10 o'clock and then again on Saturday at 10 o'clock. Again, about one of my favorite characters. You can call her Boudica or Boadicea, but Bob, go ahead. Let's hear what's going on.
Well, yeah. I guess I'd have to say that I thought that the story of Boudica's revolt against the Romans would be best told with, you know, kind of contemporary heavy metal mixed in with what you would sometimes would expect to actually hear at an opera, choral music, symphonic music, stuff like that. Now, of course, at the Fringe Festival, we had to pare down the players. And when we did it at the Berklee Performance Center, we had 50 people on stage. We had a full choir, we had string section, woodwinds, and all that stuff. At this performance tonight, which is cut down to 1 hour from a 1 hour and 45 minute length, we're going to use two keyboard players to cover the strings and the woodwinds. But I think we're going to have a really, really good show. It's starting to sound good out there.
And the name of the show, is it Queen Boudica, or what's the name of the show so people can...
Actually, we pronounce it Boudica because when I was doing some research, I saw something that said that the OU sound was pronounced like O, long O, like in bow and arrow. So we call it Queen Boudica, a metal opera.
And so for people who are out there who don't know, and again, I love this because I did a lot of research, but we called her Boadicea, when I was in England. But a lot of people don't even know the history of Boudica, as you'll be representing her as, because she was the Celtic queen of the Iceni tribe, right, back in 60
yes.
A.D.
Right, back in about 64 A.D. You know, it's almost nearly 2,000 years ago, and still her legend, you know, lives on. But I really don't think it's as well known as it ought to be. You know, it's one of the great tales of courage against insurmountable odds for anyone to challenge the Roman Empire in those days was almost unthinkable.
Well, yeah.
They were the most powerful military force on the planet.
Well, the Romans were invading kind of essentially the whole Celtic corridor there, and even what would be Spain, because the Trinovante were down there, right? And,
yes.
So the Romans were invading.
In fact, Boudica was, they think that Boudica was a Trinovante, she married Prasutagus, who was an Iceni. So, you know, they were closely linked tribes.
And what she did, for our listeners out there, it's probably one of the most amazing stories. The Romans came in, Bob, didn't they? And what they would do is, so as they were conquering the new territories, and especially the tribal nations, I believe what they did is they would come in and they would kind of bargain with them and then try to tax them afterwards. But what they did with this woman specifically, and who was a queen of her tribe, they raped her and her daughters, and
right.
And I don't know if her daughters survived. Did they, Bob?
Well, they survived the assault by the Romans. And in fact, when her husband Prasutagus died, he had actually forged a very similar deal to what you described. He saw the writing on the wall, and he dealt with the Romans. They had a kind of stable relationship with the Romans. But when Prasutagus died, he proposed to give half of his lands and his wealth to the Romans, and half to his daughter. To his wife and his daughters, and when Catus came in, he said, "I don't think so," and he took it all. And just to demonstrate that he wasn't going to be dictated to by a woman, he had Boudica flogged to unconsciousness in her village, and they raped her daughters, and they were about 12 or 14 years old. So. It's a very tragic story, and Boudica's reaction to it was pretty devastating. She nearly drove the Romans off of what is now England.
Yeah, I mean, because the places were different, and they were called Londinium and different places. But she actually, she was driven by fire at that point. She was so enraged, and as a woman and as a queen warrior, if my recollection is correct, she literally went and was able to push back and sack the Romans until her last defeat. She had one last defeat. She cornered herself in. Isn't that how it worked, Bob?
She didn't She basically fell for a trap that was set by Suetonius. Suetonius had 10,000 Romans under his command left. There was one other Roman legion left on the island, but the commander of that legion thought that the odds were so hopeless against the Romans that he didn't, he didn't come to fight, because at the time Boudica had about 80,000 Celts behind her, and Suetonius had 10,000. But Suetonius was one of the greatest generals that Rome had, and what he basically did was to lure the Celts into a bottleneck kind of valley. And once they were in there, he turns his forces on them, and they just were slaughtered.
Well, so if anybody, I'd hate to cut you off because I don't want to give it away because people need to go see that. The Waterfire Arts Center this evening at 10 o'clock at night,
yeah.
Saturday at 10 o'clock at night. And I could talk to you about this forever because I just love the topic, but it's such a wonderful piece of history. And so everybody, thank you for listening. And Bob, thanks for coming on the line and being part of the Providence Fringe Festival. Everyone, go to the Waterfire Arts Center this evening at 10 and Saturday at 10. You've been listening to AM 790, your station for talk and business.